America News Tonight.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the November 22nd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Coming up on Wednesday's show, I'll chat with my VOA colleague, Mukbil Yabaro, about Africa's qualifying campaign for the 2026 FIFA World Cup football tournament. Iron Mike Mbonye will have a report on Lesotho's national men's football team, nicknamed the Crocodiles. And in African women's football, Myron Nika will tell us how Mamelodi Sundowns ladies return to South Africa with the CAF Champions League trophy and their hearts shining brightly as they aim for more continental success. In African men's football, the first window closed Tuesday in the continent's qualifying competition for the 2026 World Cup. The next window will open in June 2024. There were 15 qualifying matches on Tuesday. Let's go group by group with the results. In Group A, Burkina Faso beat Ethiopia 3-0. In a match played in El Jadida, Morocco. In Group B, the fixtures between South Sudan and Mauritania and Togo and Senegal both ended in scoreless draws. In Group C, Lesotho and Benin played to another scoreless draw, and Rwanda beat South Africa 2-0. In Group D, Libya and visiting Cameroon drew 1-1. Mauritius and Angola played to a scoreless draw, and Cape Verde beat Eswatini 2-0. In Group E, 2022 World Cup semifinalist Morocco topped host Tanzania 2-0 in Dar es Salaam, and Zambia beat Niger 2-1 in a match played in Marrakesh, Morocco. In Group G, Botswana beat visiting Guinea 1-0, and Uganda beat Somalia by that same 1-0 scoreline in a game played in Burkina, Morocco. In Group H, Tunisia beat host Malawi 1-0 in Lilongwe, and Namibia defeated Sao Tome and Principe 2-0. This match was played in Agadir, Morocco. And finally, in Group I, Comoros upset visiting Ghana 1-0 in Moroni. Joining me now for some African World Cup qualifying analysis is my VOA colleague, Mukbil Yabaro. Sporty greetings, Mukbil.
Sporty greetings, Sonny.
Mukbil, I know earlier this week we had a few laughs at the expense of the Seychelles. They got whacked by Ivory Coast 9-0, and then they lost to Kenya 5-0. But another island team, Mukbil, we got to give Comoros a Sunny Side of Sports salute. Beating Ghana on Tuesday 1-0, that has to be one of the biggest football victories ever for Comoros.
Absolutely, Sonny. I think outside of the Comoros Island, I don't think anybody was expecting for them to be able to, you know, to beat Ghana. And when I tell you, Sonny, that goal was just top class. The player who scored the goal, Maizane Maluda, plays for the second tier Bundesliga club. He's in the second league of the Bundesliga. Plays for a team called Hertha. Right, they're like a mid tier team in that league. But if you see that goal, he went through about three Ghanaian defenders and really laid the ball perfectly, placed it perfectly. It was such an amazing strike from outside the box. I'm just looking at that, and what it tells me is there's so much talent, you know, maybe that haven't been given the opportunity. And I feel like qualifiers and, you know, the World Cup and AFCON and big tournaments like this give an opportunity for players to really shine and showcase that they have these, you know, moments of brilliance. And maybe the big clubs will take notice and they'll be able to go play in bigger club names. But yeah, Comoros, 1-0 victory versus Ghana, sitting them at the very top because they played Central African Republic and beat them 4-2. So they have a lot of fighting power. They got a lot of grit, you know, for a small island. and for them to be at the top of this group I at the moment with 2 wins, no losses, 6 points ahead of Ghana, because Ghana has a 1-1, one win and one loss. Then Mali has a win and a draw. Madagascar, another island, one win and a draw. And unfortunately for Central African Republic and Chad, both, they've yet to get a win. So they're sitting at the bottom of that group at the moment. But yeah, Sonny, Comoros, what a shocker.
Muckbill, if we move up to Group C in African World Cup qualifying, Amavubi, the Wasps of Rwanda, they sting visiting South Africa 2-0. And now Rwanda at the top of a very tight group right now. Group C, Muckbill.
Oh, yeah. 2-0 victory against South Africa. It's not an easy feat. This is the who I believed, South Africa, I believed, were the second strongest team in that group, right after Nigeria. But this, again, Sonny, is showing you what we discussed earlier in the week. It doesn't matter how great of a team you have. If you cannot get the best 90-plus minutes out of your guys, doesn't matter how big their names are, where they play, none of that matters. It's just 90 minutes. You come to play, you might have a team with 90% local players. But just because they're local talent doesn't mean that they're not great yet. Maybe they just haven't been discovered yet. So, you know, shout out to Rwanda for pulling off a very big win in emphatic style. I think what this does more than anything else is assist the Nigerians, because if South Africa would have got their second win against Rwanda and not suffered a defeat, they would be sitting very comfortable at the top of Group C, which would have been very difficult for Nigeria to make up that gap. Now, with everything seeming like it's a lot closer in their favor because Nigeria hasn't taken a loss yet, they have those two draws. I think they have found a new pathway to win or to come out of the group if they just win their next games in the qualifiers.
Muckbill, let's turn to Group B in African World Cup qualifying. Another tight contest, Togo, scoreless draw against Senegal, the reigning African champions. This is another tight group, but I think it also shows, Muckbill, that, you know, some of the so-called smaller teams in African football, they're really playing well against the big boys.
Absolutely, Sonny. I think the key takeaway is it's so interesting that, you know, it took for African teams to do it on the big stage in the World Cup, like a Morocco, right? And the smaller clubs now are looking at the Moroccos and the Senegals of the world as, okay, you may be a big team and people expect you to win, but really, what's the difference between me and you? You know, so that same energy that Morocco took in the World Cup is the same energy they're getting back from their fellow Africans. And they're just saying, okay, you might have the big names, but it doesn't matter. We're gonna come out here and we're gonna play. And I'll give you an example even before we jump. Morocco played their very first game yesterday against Tanzania, and I believe they had a penalty earlier on in the game. Hakimi, Ashraf Hakimi, PSG fullback, one of the most well-renowned African players and Moroccan players in the world, missed the PK, literally aired it, you know. And it what it really did to me was it showed that Tanzania was playing a really, really good game up until Ziyech just lined it up for about, man, he let it go from a very far distance, but it just showed you it was kind of like an error from the goalie, and then it deflated the Tanzanian team. Then they had an own goal later on in the 50th minute because of the constant pressure. But nonetheless, Tanzania really showed that they have grit, you know, and they really were playing a very good game until that one lapse. So keep looking at the rest of these, you know, smaller teams, whether it's smaller islands or smaller countries that you're not expecting to go that far and that don't have the big boy names that play in Europe, for instance, to really, really showcase and make a name for themselves, because they understand all it takes is one act of brilliance to help your team get a win against a big team and now put you in that next light. And you know, this is almost like an audition, Sonny, right? You know, you're really showcasing your talents to the world, and everyone's watching.
Mukbil, some of these teams like Comoros, for example, they will not resume World Cup qualifying until June of 2024. Comoros did not qualify for the Africa Cup of Nations in January. What do you think a team like Comoros has to do now to stay sharp for the next 6 months?
That is a very, very great question, Sonny. Very challenging for the small island team. What I would say is what you have to do is you just have to constantly keep it in the back of your mind. Okay, we are at the top of this group, but that doesn't mean anything. We're not supposed to be here. We're still underdogs. We want to stay fresh, stay locked in, continual practices. I think with smaller teams, they actually might have a little bit of an advantage where you might have a larger portion of your team that has the ability to play together throughout, you know, the rest of the year up until you resume in June, right? So that luxury in and of itself can, you know, strengthen the chemistry for the team. So I would say keep doing what you guys are doing. Keep practicing and just stay locked in. It seems very far, you know, 6 months or 6 to 7 months seems like it's very far away, but it's literally right around the corner. So I'm excited to see what they do when they continue and resume qualifier play.
Finally, Mukbil, in terms of one more takeaway, I think Ivory Coast, which will host the Africa Cup of Nations in January, they must feel pretty good about themselves, Mukbil. Two wins in World Cup qualifying at the top of Group F, 9 goals against the Seychelles. That has to be a big confidence booster.
If I'm the Ivorians, there's nobody that feels better than me coming into AFCON. I've shown that I can dominate my group with that goal score shows that, you know, when you score 9 goals against any team, it just means that your team has the ability to click when you all are on the same page. So keep doing that same, you know, whatever it is that got you into that groove, you got to refine it, you know, and having the AFCON tournament being held in Ivory Coast gives them that extra level. We saw what it did for Senegal in the BAL. So sometimes that home crowd is really what it takes to put you over the edge. They play their first game against Guinea-Bissau. And then I believe their second game is against Nigeria. Now that is going to be a very big test for the both teams. You know, the Nigerians want to showcase, hey, the World Cup qualifiers, for whatever reason, we may have messed up, but we're really here. And the Ivorians are saying that we did what we needed to do in qualifiers, and we're here to do it again in AFCON. So it's going to be exciting, Sonny.
Talking African football with my VOA colleague, Mukbil Yabaro. Thanks, Mukbil.
Thanks, Sonny.
We'll be right back. The Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, X, formerly known as Twitter, and at voaafrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My X, formerly known as Twitter handle, is at VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, you can listen online to The Sunny Side of Sports, as well as past episodes. Check out voaafrica.com for lots of Africa news. For world news, go to voanews.com.
Host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
In African women's football, Mamelodi Sundowns, ladies, were greeted by hundreds of fans as they returned to South Africa as CAF Champions League winners. They became the first team in history to win the competition twice. Myron Nyka tells us more from Durban, South Africa. Sporty greetings, Myron!
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Just a week after the men's team won the inaugural African Football League, Mamelodi Sundowns fans were singing again. The ladies' team etched themselves into history by becoming the first side to win the CAF Champions League twice, having won the competition back in 2021 as well. Last year, they were comprehensively beaten in the final by Moroccan outfit AS FAR. Captain Zanele Ntlapo, who was sent off in that defeat, said it was important for the team to bounce back on the big stage.
I think this tournament was a bit tougher for us, but we had to remind ourselves on what happened last year. Remember, last year this time I was one of the players who was crying so bad. So I had to remind myself that with that red card that I got, that I need to come back strong, you know, for the team, for the badge as well, and also for the supporters.
Sundowns were brilliant throughout, going undefeated throughout the group stage. Jerry Shabalala's team then beat the defending champions AS FAR by a goal to nil to advance to the final. Ntlapo says the team had a clear plan before they left for the tournament.
I think we did well as a team. We went there to fight, like you saw all our games. What I liked before we leave South Africa, we set a goal as a team to say that we need to win the tournament, nothing much. So I think we worked very hard as a team and we deserved to win.
The growth and development of the club on the African continent is a major focus for the owners. This was the vision of former club boss Patrice Motsepe, who's now the president of CAF. Shabalala says that ethos still runs through the club.
So I believe everyone who's at Klerkop, he still shares the same vision with the previous president in terms of trying to dominate Africa. So that thing, it really pushes us as an employees of Mamelodi Sundowns to keep on trying and harder and work as hard as we can so that we can achieve the goal of the previous president and the current chairman to say we want to dominate Africa. That's what really is pushing us.
With the title safely back in their trophy cabinet, Sundowns have quickly shifted their focus to the domestic league in South Africa. They're chasing a treble of trophies, hoping to win the domestic league and the Knockout Cup title as well.
I've already told the girls after the game that the Champions League, it's done and dusted. Now the focus is on Hollywood Super Bet League. The cup that we've brought home, it's more or less similar like any other cups. So the focus now is to shift to Hollywood Super Bet League. As I speak to you now, we're training tomorrow, and we play on Thursday. So it shows that we definitely want to win everything.
True to their club slogan, the sky is the limit, Mamelodi Sundowns ladies have reached great heights. Their goal now is to carry this momentum into the South African top flight competition. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Myron Nyker in Durban, South Africa.
Thanks, Myron. Mamelodi Sundowns shining brightly as champions of the CAF Women's Champions League and also champions in men's football in the inaugural season of the African Football League. Yes, let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Mamelodi Sundowns.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bubu music to hip life, bongo flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makosa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Around the clock, the Voice of America keeps you in touch with the latest news.
Tune in at the top of every hour, every day of the week.
For the 5-minute VOA newscast.
We bring you reports from our correspondents and interviews with newsmakers from around the globe.
Give us 5 minutes and we'll give you the world.
VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Returning now to African football and 2026 World Cup qualifying, Lesotho and Benin played to a scoreless draw in South Africa. Iron Mike Mbonye filed this post-match report.
Lesotho's national men's football team, also known as the Crocodiles, played a goalless draw against Benin in a 2026 World Cup qualifier. The Group C game was played at the Moses Mabhida Stadium, Durban, in South Africa, the adopted home of the Crocodiles. This is the second draw recorded by the Crocodiles, having played a 1-1 draw against Nigeria in the opening game of the 2026 World Cup qualifiers. In a post-match media briefing, Leslie Nottsey, head coach of Lesotho's national men's football team, says he is satisfied with the team's performance. The post-match audio was sent to VOA by the Crocodiles media officer, Miki Akalati.
But I think as the game progressed, we were able now to adjust and play. And by halftime, I think we were able to sit down and try to rectify the challenges that were there within the team. Within the game, and we are able now to try as much as we can to create goal-scoring opportunities, and we made some changes, and we're trying to utilize the speed, you know, the combination playing in attacking third. I think we are quite satisfied in the manner in which the boys, played.
Nottsey says Lesotho has taken some positives playing against Benin as it plans for future engagements.
For us as a small footballing nation, the population we have of 2 million, you know, the options of getting the quality that Benin has, it's not that much. But with what we have, playing against a quality team like Benin, it has given us the opportunity to look at the areas that we need to work on, and I think we're going to do that in terms of going forward with the team because football is about goals, so we really have to deal with that.
The Warriors of Zimbabwe will host the Crocodiles of Lesotho, while the Crocodiles will play against Rwanda in the second window of the World Cup qualifiers in early June 2024. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Iron Mike Mbonye in Lagos.
Thanks, Iron Mike.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. Pro basketball. The NBA's in-season tournament continued Tuesday with five games. The AP's Steve Carney joins us now with an update.
The NBA's in-season tournament has its first two quarterfinalists as the Lakers officially advance out of group play with a 131-99 win over the Jazz. They finished 4-0 in the group stage. The Pacers are also through after a 157-152 win over the Hawks. Meanwhile, the Cavaliers get closer to joining Indiana in the knockout phase. Michael Luongo reports.
The Cavaliers scored the final 4 points in the overtime for a 122-119 win over the 76ers. After Philadelphia took a 119-118 lead, Cleveland took the lead for good on a Jarrett Allen basket. Then Darius Garland sealed the win with a pair of free throws.
Everybody's getting involved. Everybody's getting a touch. So, I mean, it's hard to guard when everybody's moving and everybody's touching the ball.
Joel Embiid had 32 for the Sixers.
The Suns pull away for a 120-107 win over the Blazers behind 31 points from Kevin Durant, who passed Elvin Hayes for 11th all-time in scoring.
To be amongst the all-time greats, the guys who set the standard and made the NBA what it is today, It's an honor. I mean, it's a lot of games played, a lot of shots being put up. And, so to be amongst the greatest of the greats of this game is pretty cool.
And the Magic beat the Raptors 126-107. Steve Carney.
Let's serve out Wednesday's show with Sunny Side of Sports birthday salutes for a couple of tennis greats, one from the United States and the other from Germany. American Billie Jean King is celebrating her 80th birthday on this Wednesday. She's regarded as one of the trailblazers in tennis and a pioneer for equality and social justice. Billie Jean King won 39 Grand Slam titles during her career, 12 in singles, 16 in women's doubles, and 11 in mixed doubles. In 1973, at the age of 29, Billie Jean King famously won the Battle of the Sexes tennis match against the 55-year-old Bobby Riggs. And one other achievement, the Billie Jean King Cup Finals, won by Canada earlier this month in Seville, Spain, is named for you-know-who. And we also salute Boris Becker, who is celebrating his 56th birthday on this Wednesday. Boris won 5 major singles titles, including 3 Wimbledon championships. In 1985, Boris Becker won Wimbledon at the age of 17. He is still the youngest ever winner of the men's singles title at Wimbledon. Happy birthday, Boris Becker and Billie Jean King. Up the November 22nd edition of the show. Thank Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.